We are a weekly podcast, Soul of a Gamer.
Hey, I'm smart this time. Well, I did not, this
let's
time.
Let's not go that far, okay?
I will fuck it up again.
I love pressing that button. That was my favorite button.
That's definitely.
This game gets really fucking weird.
So you do acid and then you go into the hamster shit.
And this week is
Night Trap.
Night Trap.
They're right behind you, Night Trap.
10-year-old birthday party. Next scene, kill the kid.
You got to kill the kid. Sha la 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 la, car is coming. Throw your body into the car and die. All I could do every time I was playing Ethan was just would start walking around and go, Jason!
Oh, God.
It's just one.
We that intro was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was. Holy God damn. Shit.
I can't believe so how funny. Much shit we just did. That was
I can't
amazing.
We talked about stripper hamsters and acid.
Wait.
What?
The recording wasn't going.
What recording wasn't going?
The recording. No one heard it.
No one heard what? That's so stupid.
The awesome intro we just did.
Why didn't you put it where it was supposed to be?
What? I don't know.
You always call me a dumbass. Now that you're in control, you're the dumbass.
Welcome back, guys. We're fucking with you, sorry.
I didn't know where we were going with that.
Yeah, I was like, let's just try something weird. I'm Scott.
I'm Steven.
And we are Soul of a Gamer podcast. Each week, we tell you about a game. We give you a story of the behind the scenes of the making of the game. And we tell you what we thought of the fucking game, too.
Yes, we do. We do. We do all that.
We do and all more. Of those things. We hope you enjoyed our last week's episode.
Oh, God. This don't do this.
You Why know this. Gonna draw you blank? Got this because I'm already forgetting what it was. it's so weird because I have it in my brain when I say that, and then it's just completely gone when it's like, I need to pull that out.
Because I know it wasn't Metal Gear.
No, it was not Metal Gear.
Was it Pokemon Colosseum?
Yes, it was Pokemon Colosseum.
Okay. Woohoo. I've got
so,
there.
So, yeah. You know, that was a weird game. We didn't love it, but we didn't hate it. So somewhere like in the
good
middle
ideas,
there.
Good ideas, but not the greatest execution.
Yeah. Execution is everything in the gaming business, so.
Yes.
Let's just jump right into this with what are you playing this week, Steven?
All right. Well, I decided to try out another kind of miniature person survival game, kind of like Grounded. And saw a game called Small World that I was like, oh, this has actually got like flights and mounts and all this other stuff. And it's way more online, it has like world events and stuff. I was like, maybe this would be a kind of a fun one. Wife and I played it for a few hours. I think we put it like maybe a total of 6 hours into it. And it is just not grounded in the slightest. Like, it is just, it's going to be a game that grinds so much. The amount of resources you need for literally everything, because to even make one item, you have to get this to get this and then do this to get this and then this and this just to get
more
one
of
item.
A,
it's like,
ugh. Sounds like more of a pure survival game.
Yeah. And it's the aggression of the enemies is just way more than any of those other games. Like, it'd be like in Minecraft, there's just creepers, like 15 creepers around you at all times. Like the amount of bees and stuff in this game are just ridiculous. And they're just, every bee is poison damage. And then the nighttime creatures are, there's like nighttime ladybugs and nighttime grasshoppers and ants that are way more brutal. So like exploring at night is just a no-go.
You know, it sounds like a little bit like Pikmin, honestly.
I've never played Pikmin, so I would.
That was like the first like small world game, I would say.
Okay.
And it's really good. I think the second one has a multiplayer option. You guys should try that one out.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that might be fun.
Yeah. Well, I have been playing Two Worlds, Doze. I can't remember if I said that last week, too.
I think you might have.
Yeah, I have been having so much. Holy shit. The first 2 hours of this game are rough. Like, in Two Worlds 1, it's really easy. You kind of like it a lot. But in the second one, it's so much fucking harder.
Okay. It's just, like, difficulty or just, like, you don't progress as fast or...
So, in the first one, the combat system's really simple to understand, and in the second one, it's not. Yeah. Like, you can really die so much quicker in the second one than in the first one. There's no dodge mechanic. Like, in the first one, there's an invulnerability dodge.
Okay.
But in the second one, there's not. There's just blocking.
Yeah. Oh, that's annoying.
But it has a better like weapon upgrade system, has a better magic system. Like, I honestly do like it better than the first one. So,
oh, okay.
I'm like 20 hours in or so now and having a lot of fun with it.
I still haven't played the second one, so.
Oh, it's so good. So much
better.
Might
have to try it out.
Yeah. All right, well. All
right.
We're going to jump right into now the typing of the dead. Overkill.
Wahoo!
Start this out with a little background of the story of the game. The story of Typing of the Dead Overkill follows the story of Agent G and his partner detective, Washington, as they search to stop the outbreak of a contagion that turns people into zombies. And in the game, they don't refer to them as zombies, it's mutants.
They're mutants.
Yep. The two must follow through a horde of zombies, mutants, and 70s movies cliches in order to stop the plague from spreading. But yeah, it's funny because they have the first like 2 seconds of the game. It's like, these motherfucking zombies. And Agent G goes, mutants.
Not the Z word.
Yeah, it's so good.
We're not supposed to call them that.
Yeah, which I don't understand why, but whatever. I don't know. Does anyone have a trademark on zombies, or was that just something funny?
Probably just something funny.
Yeah. All right, well, the story of Typing of the Dead Overkill actually starts in 1999 with the release of House of the Dead 2. The game was originally was released as an arcade game to be played as a cabinet game only. Soon, though, Sega decided to port the game to the Dreamcast. Originally, the game was to be played with handheld gun controllers used to shoot at the zombies that would pop up on screen. Soon after the release of the game, a port was made where instead of the handheld gun controllers, keyboards were used, and the game was changed to include funny words and phrases that must be spelled correctly in order for the player to kill zombies.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is very true.
This was made with both the arcade cabinet and the Dreamcast. So they had these fucking, the arcade cabinet would have a keyboards attached to it instead of the guns. The Dreamcast had periphery keyboards made and sold with the new port for the game.
That's awesome.
Which, like, picture going into a fucking arcade and seeing just, like, a keyboard in front of, like, I couldn't imagine. I wouldn't fucking touch it. I'd be like, this is fucking dumb.
No, I would have jumped on it, honestly. I would have been like, that's so different. I'm going for it. Like, what the fuck is this?
It is different. It's just weird. I don't know if I'd like it. Maybe I'd think, like, oh, shit, is this, like, you have more control over your fucking character because you have so much more keys?
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And then you play it and you're like, I'm just fucking spelling.
Hey, I mean, that's intriguing to me. I love that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Oh, and I thought of a reason why they might have. Never mind.
That's okay. This was the first iteration of typing style gameplay that would soon be revived for later games in the series. In the late 2000s, Headstrong Games were approached by Sega in order to make a new game for them. They wanted to make another game in an already existing series of the game. The Headstrong Games were excited about this and started to drop hints at the game series they would like to work on. This included both House of the Dead and Jet Set Radio.
Oh, nice.
So the guys who actually, I didn't put it in here, but the guys who made the Typing of the Dead port, I want to say, I think it was just the port. So it wasn't a House of the Dead, but it was the Typing of the Dead port for House of the Dead 2, were the guys who originally made Jet Set Radio.
Which also were the guys who also made Sunset Overdrive, wasn't it?
No, I don't think so. That wasn't on their little... It was like the Sega Sports something. They did specifically sports games.
Okay.
So like their claims to fame were like Jet Set Radio and something else, but they didn't... I don't think they worked on a lot of stuff. They've changed their name since they started, so I'm not really sure who they are. They have a way worse name now.
Okay.
Sega decided that they did want another House of the Dead game and approved the Headstrong Games of making it. The first part of brainstorming, someone on the team just watched Killer Nun and decided that it would be really cool if the game was based on a lot of exploitation movie tropes from the 70s. So
I need to watch Killer Nun.
Yeah. The team also watched Planet Terror, which solidified the idea for them. So after someone watched Killer Nun, the whole team went out for a weekend and watched Planet Terror.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and they got so much inspiration from it. Sega loved the idea and agreed to let the team make the theme of the game. The team very quickly went out to the British Film Institute to ask about good movies that they could watch for the inspiration on the story of the game. The guy they talked to at the Institute was no help at suggesting any movies and instead said, I don't know, mate. I've got a film with Kate Winslet in it.
There you go.
Yep. They then went out to an HMV store, which is a store that sells an assortment of home entertainment items, including movies and music, and met a guy who just started naming off movie after movie for them to try.
Nice.
Yeah. You know you're not going to get anything at the fucking Film Institute. You got to go to this like random Blockbuster and let some guy works out.
Yeah. The guy who just sits there and watches movies all day long.
Yeah. I think they started this in like 2007, so it was like the first of the last leg of Blockbuster videos, so I'm sure by then they were almost all closed.
That's fair.
Because the housing crisis really just fucking ruined them in 2008, I think.
That's fair.
Okay. I just love that. Kate Winslet in it.
Oh, thanks.
It's so stupid. Well, why would you say that? This team sounds really fun. I wish I could work for this team. They sound like they're fucking awesome guys.
Oh, they sound like great.
The team spent a long amount of time just watching movies to very accurately get the feel of 70s exploitation movies. Another thing the team had to do was go out and play House of the Dead 3 and 4 over and over at a local arcade. They said they spent around 250 quid playing the games. They are an English company, by the way, guys. I don't know how much a quid is, but I assume it's like a dollar.
I think quid's just like another term for pound, or if it's like another form of currency with pound or something.
I don't know. I know quid is a coin, but I'm not sure what representation it would be in their measurement of economy.
I have no idea their currency at all.
So yeah, they said they spent around 250 quid playing the games. When a Sega representative was asked why they didn't just donate an arcade machine with the games loaded on it to the office, the representative said the office the team was staying in was not very large and the cabinets would not fit. So to me, it sounds like they're full of shit. Yeah, that's totally the reason. Not because we forgot.
You have 8-foot tall ceilings. This needs a 10-foot tall ceiling.
Yeah. It's like, what do you mean the fucking studios too? Throw it up against any fucking wall. Who gives a shit?
Right.
Who cares about the room? Take it back when they're done.
Exactly.
When at the arcade, the team tried to film themselves playing the game for later reference and were quickly kicked out of the arcade. Then the team tried to go to the Sega World that was near them and were not let in with their video equipment. And guys, if you don't know, Sega World was a
giant arcade.
You know what? I wrote it in here. Yeah, I'll bring it up. I forgot I wrote it in here. I was gonna actually just explain what a Sega World is. So they're not let in. In response to this, the team asked if the people at Sega World if they knew who they were. Sorry, I didn't write it in here. I thought I did. Sega World. Okay. Yeah, it was basically an arcade run by Sega from like the late 90s. I think they're still around, but they're slowly dying and decaying.
Yeah, I think the last one just closed or is closing soon.
Yeah,
because it's like a 13-story arcade.
Yeah, they're so cool. Sega did such a cool job making these. It's just that when the home entertainment system really got going, no one wants to go to a fucking arcade if they have this like $1,500 computer at home. So
yeah, and it's basically this arcade has like every arcade game you've ever heard of,
and every Sega game, man. They're not like Nintendo. They're not just saying, like, fuck our old stuff. They're saying, we love our old stuff.
Exactly.
I just love, do you know who we are? they say that to the guy. They're like, I don't know. Do you? Get out of here.
We are.
After these two defeats, they went to Namco, which Namco owns a big arcade thing, too, and were allowed to film after bribing the staff with a copy of the team's previous game, Battalion Wars 2. Apparently, one person on the team would go out and always have a copy of Battalion Wars 2 on them. Yeah, they did it all the time, I read. They were like, literally, they'd go to a restaurant and for a tip, they'd hand out the fucking game. it's really funny. See, the team sounds so cool. They really do. I would love to work for this company, man. They sound so fucking cool.
You just never know what to expect with them, probably.
Yeah. For the and guys, I should state here, sorry, we're talking about the House of the Dead Overkill. The typing of the Dead Overkill is literally just a port. I referenced the company in there, but all they do is they just switch. They took the words from the original game, put them into this game, and switched the controller layout so it would use a keyboard. So really, that company almost did nothing in the making of this fucking game. So just so you guys know, that's why we're not talking about that company.
It's fair.
We're talking about the company that actually made the game, you know. So
yeah.
For the announcement of Headstrong Games working on the new House of the Dead game, they decided to go to a local butcher and do a photo shoot of the team with their heads lopped off at the butcher. Which is a cool fucking photo shoot.
Fair.
After the shoot, the team handed the butcher who owned the shop a copy of Battalion Wars 2.
I see a trend here.
The butcher was confused at what he was supposed to do with it, so he bit into it jokingly. You know how you get like a coin and you bite the coin?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what he did. When making characters for the game, the team had a lot of inspiration from real life people. Agent G was easy because he was a standard in the other House of the Dead games. They did base his attitude for this game off many personas, including Keanu Reeves' character from Point Break.
That's fair.
Yeah. The character Detective Washington is based off the rapper Common, cosmetically, and the roles he would play in certain movies.
Okay.
Varla Guns is based off of Parisian model Vicky Blows. Originally, Varla was going to be based off of Kate Moss, but the team kept making her breasts larger and eventually looked nothing like Kate Moss anymore.
Jesus. What a reason to switch. I want bigger boobs.
Yeah, literally. And then, like they said, throughout the game-making process, the boobs kept just growing.
I don't think they're big enough, guys. Hey, guys. Another cup size?
Another cup size. Fuck yeah, man. And Papa Caesar is based off of Burt Reynolds. Jasper is actually based off of a deformed version of Harry Potter. One of the programmers for the game had worked on a Harry Potter game right before House of the Dead Overkill.
Interesting.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Level designer also made his appearance in the game as a head rolling down the stairs on the first level of the game. voice acting for the game was really fun for the team. They had spent a weekend recording what they thought the Americans would sound like in a 70s exploitation movie and sent it over to the voice acting crew that were based out of New York City. The team was worried that the voice actors would not like what the team had done, but the voice actors loved it and used it as inspiration for how the characters would end up sounding.
That's awesome.
The voice actors for this game were Anthony Arroyo as Detective Washington, Will Sierra as Agent G, Sarah Connor as Varla Guns, Carter Jackson as Jasper Guns, Armin St. Just or Juste as Papa Caesar, Vince Mola as Warden Darling, Darren Atkins as Mother, and Connor Hall as the narrator.
Nice.
The team ended up with an idea for the handheld of the game being a hand cannon instead of 9mm that most other games of this nature used. They wanted a show of power almost when holding the controller. In the game, Jasper Guns is stuck in a wheelchair, and this wheelchair became an unofficial mascot for the team. It is featured twice in the cover of the game. The team realized that the more the wheelchair was put on things, the more people would ask, "What's up with the wheelchair?" The game was released in 2009 for the Wii and 2011 and 12 for the PlayStation 3. The Typing of the Dead version of the game was released in 2013 for the Windows.
Yep.
And like I said, like guys, it's literally the team that worked on Typing of the Dead was, they took everything that these guys already did and put a keyboard on it pretty much. And that's it. That's the story.
Nice. No, that's awesome.
Yeah. So let's just get right into the best and the worst.
All right. Best thing for me is the dialogue. It is so bad. It is good.
And on purpose too, guys. Like literally the dialogue is on purpose bad and it's fucking awesome.
Like I love the speech at the end where they're sitting down and he's talking to him about how much he uses the word fuck.
He's like, you know what, Washington? I love you, man. Say it. Say I love you. It's such a weird fucking speech.
But the whole speech of just, dude, you fucking say too much fucking words, and all you do is using these fuckisms just to get over the fact that you can't connect with me.
I think he the follow-up is, motherfucker!
Yep.
Just so good.
It reminded me of Samuel Jackson's movies, like his cheesy movies so much.
Dude, if they had Samuel Jackson playing that part,
I would die.
Perfect. Like, motherfucker. It would have been so good. I agree. I think dialogue in this game really stands out above a lot of things. And this game is One thing about the port, I think if I played the original with the cool hand cannons and I felt like I was like more involved with the game, this game would have been a lot more fun. But the typing port makes this game very repetitive and boring really quickly.
I will say I can't play this game in long stints with the keyboard, but I love the keyboard. Like, honestly, a game that kind of teaches you to type and like get better at no-look typing is something that I've always kind of thought would be a really cool thing.
Yeah, and they like, should... I mean, they have those games. They're just boring as shit. They should put this game into fucking schools. Let them hear the guy say, motherfucker, over and over again. Like, who cares?
No, seriously, but like, someone can do this exact same thing and just make it entertaining for all ages and do something just hilarious. Like, even in, like, the Psychonauts world or something.
Yeah. Yeah,
like do something like that. It works in that world actually, like very well.
I think people would really resonate with that better because it's silly, and silliness tends to come across better in people's perspectives.
And it would be the greatest teaching tool ever. Like, honestly, like I was sitting here, and I've always keep talking about like I've been transitioning into jobs where I'm sitting at a computer desk a lot more. And I'm having to type a lot more emails and stuff, and getting better at typing would be nice. So this has actually been a kind of a really cool refresher.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, the game is very repetitive and boring because of this, too.
It is, though.
Like, it does get a little... If you're doing this as a learning experience, it's probably great, but as a gamer playing this, you will get bored.
Like, I don't think I could do it more than ever two missions. Like, once I get, like, close to the end of the second mission, I'm like, I'm done. I don't want to play another mission.
My first play, I grinded through 3. My second play, I grinded through 4. And my last play, I grinded through 4.
Oh, damn. I did it, like, two or three at a time.
Yeah. Because, like, it was really... And it's not like it's long or anything. It's just boring.
It is, yeah.
I love the...
Especially when you start repeating words.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, the words are funny. Some of them, like, I did it on bitch difficulty, which is easy.
Oh, that was so funny, yeah.
And in the bitch difficulty, the words are easy. There's, like, a max two-word two-word buildup. And then I tried it on normal difficulty for another level, and it's like, you'll have full sentences, up to 5 words.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, that's a big jump from easy, from bitch to normal.
I started out on the normal difficulty, and then, like, partway through, I was like, I kind of want to just put it on bitch just to see, like, how much easier it is. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is pretty easy.
Yeah. So there is quite a rev up in the difficulty, but if you're a fast typer, you won't give a shit, so.
Yeah. I just hated words like saxophone.
Yeah, you know, it's like certain words that you don't usually spell, you're like, oh, my God, what is...
Fuck the word saxophone. It is everywhere on the keyboard as well.
S-A-X-O-F. Or S-A-X-O-P-H-O-N-E, right? Saxophone?
Yeah. It goes like literally almost every spot on the keyboard. It goes all directions. It's an annoying word. That's the word that I hated the most in this game.
Yeah. I don't really have a lot of downsides or upsides. Honestly, this game came out fairly neutral for me. I didn't really care for anything in particular. There was nothing really like... that outshined everything else besides the voice acting. So, like, I'm pretty much done. I feel like that's all my gropes. I mean, the only thing that I would do for them is maybe, like, there was a moment where I really needed to pee. And, you know, in other games you can pause cutscenes, and in this game you can't.
Yeah.
So I hit the escape key thinking, okay, I can pause this cutscene, and then I skip the cutscene. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me right now?
Yeah.
And that was at the end of a level, so I went back and replayed the level so I could just watch the fucking cutscene.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, no, I would say some of the boss fights are also a little annoying. Yeah. And then it just, like, that last battle was so unexpected with the changing of the typing.
Yeah, the last battle, we won't give away too much, but I didn't even have to type words. I just literally kept smashing my keyboard, and it kept giving damage.
See, that's what other people were saying, too, but I didn't feel like I was having that happen for me.
Oh, you don't hit enter. You just keep...
Oh,
if you keep doing it, you just like, and I realized that pretty quick. I'm like, oh, this is dumb. They should have made it. But there's like no way to read words. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You could have had a big damage words with their prompt that they gave you.
Yeah.
But like, it was really hard to remember what these people were. And like for Varla Guns, like things about Varla Guns, I put breasts. Boobs.
Dude, yeah, I did that too. Yeah. I did like titties, and it was like superb. Yeah. It did a lot of damage, and then you're like stripper, and it's like haha.
Yeah. So you'll get a lot of stuff like, but Candy, all I could remember was fucking stripper, and I'm like, oh fuck. Okay, well, she's dead to me.
You could say stripper, you could say Jasper, you could say
And like I realize all that after, but I'm like, in the moment I'm like, okay. And eventually I just started like pounding the keys. I'm like, oh, I'm doing a lot of damage just doing this. Fuck the superbs.
Yeah. The other thing I will say about this game for a lot of people, just as like a little bit of a warning, if you're offended about games kind of like Duke Nukem style and stuff like this, this game will also offend you.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of choice
very
language
rude
in
and
here.
Crude.
But it's not like...
It's rude and crude, but in a comical way.
And it's not like Duke Nukem where they like bash gay people and stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's not like that. Yeah. But it's still a little more crude than what you're probably used to.
Yeah. Just wanted to give that warning because a lot of people might get offended by that.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much mine, I think. I honestly like the boss fights, too. Some of them are really fucking unique.
Yeah, I liked all of them except for the stupid witch. Like, that was annoying
for
me.
The witch one was actually my favorite one. And it's only because once you figure out how it works, you're like, oh, shit, I get it now. Like, and I was like, that's really unique. That's a unique one that I think they did a good
job. I didn't figure
it
out until I got done with the fight. And then I watched a video and I was like, oh, God fucking damn.
Okay, I randomly, what happened with me is it lined up on the second time she made copies of herself.
Oh, yeah.
And I randomly did the first one thinking, okay, there's no way I'm getting through all these words in the time. Let me just start with the first one. And the first one was the right one. And I was like, I see. So they're clones. I thought you had to kill all of them. I'm so stupid.
Yep, this
does not make any fucking sense now.
I kept getting so confused. Like, I hit every time. I was like, I'm dying the most in this boss fight because I can't fucking figure
this
out.
But once you figure it out, it's actually kind of fun. I think they did a really good job with most of the boss fights. Just some of them are a little lackluster.
Well, and that one on the normal difficulty with the longer words, like sometimes like when she made a copy of herself, it'd be 2 to 3 words a piece. And I was like, there's no way to type this fast. Like, fuck you.
It's making you learn.
Dude, yeah, I struggle so hard sometimes.
Yeah. All right. Well, what's our next little... Yeah. What's our next
the
little
first
segment?
Few hours?
This one's hard. It's fun, but again, it's like it's one of those things where you start it and you're like, I can see myself doing this for 2 hours and getting bored.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like kind of pass, kind of fail. You would play it for 2 hours probably, but then in 2 hours you'd realize you don't really like it all that much.
Yeah, the thing I wanted to say is the first 5 to 10 minutes will kind of let you know if you're going to enjoy this game or not.
Mm-hmm.
If you're enjoying the comedy of it and you're enjoying the stupidity of the story and you kind of enjoy like a little bit of the gimmick of the keyboard, then you're probably set to enjoy this most of the way through. You might get bored and stop, but you might also come back and finish the story. It's a really short story, so I mean, the first couple hours, you're getting halfway through the story.
Yeah. And guys, just so you know, in the game, it does have an option to play the original House of the Dead over.
True.
So you don't have to play the Typing of the Dead version. You could play the original, which is, in my opinion, the more fun version.
Yeah. And they actually do have a lot of like really cool things with like director's cuts and stuff of that game. And then you can play it with a controller. So you actually do like a actual shooting gallery style instead of the keyboard.
There were several different ways to play it. Like, I'm not saying the game is bad. I think the typing port is not very good.
That's fair. But yeah, that's what I think pretty much in the first couple hours. I don't really have
much else to
say about that.
I turned out very neutral on this game in a lot of stuff. Like, I could see myself playing this after 2 hours. I could see myself putting it down, honestly. So.
Yeah. All right. So now for Steve Achieves.
Steve Achieves.
So, the game is about... Wow. Jeez, shots fired. I'm going to go cry in the corner. You bastard.
Go cry in your fucking corner.
Bitch.
Wow. All right.
So the game is about 4 hours long, and if you're looking to 100% this game, it'll probably take you around 23 and a half hours on average.
Damn.
The achievements in this game are probably a little hard to get, honestly, especially once you've tried doing everything on like the hardcore difficulties and having to get through everything on those. So the first achievement I was calling attention to was challenge accepted. Only 0.5% of people have completed this, and it's complete all the challenges in all the director cut levels in the House of the Dead.
Nice.
But yeah, I was like, that's really cool that they have like the actual like director's cut on top of just the normal game as well.
Yeah, because I think it was a DLC release, I'm pretty sure, for the game.
I think so.
So it wasn't like a separate game you had to buy like some are.
And then I love the name of these ones. Fingers of Fury. Only 1% of people have completed this one. And it's completing all hardcore levels in Typing of the Dead. Which on the hardcore difficulties, you get the most amount of words, the most difficult words, a wider dictionary. And then you also have to do punctuation, I think, like the spacing spaces, and capitalization.
Yeah. I was curious about that as I was playing, if I had to do that stuff. And I realized quickly you don't. I'm like, there must be a difficulty where you do.
Yeah, hardcore difficulty, you have to do all of the punctuation, capitalization, all that other stuff. So it makes it way more difficult.
Mm-hmm. At least and it's then, not like beat the game on hardcore difficulty without taking any damage.
It's funny you speak of that.
Oh, no.
Mad Motor Fingers, 1.1% completion. Complete a hardcore level without taking damage in Typing of the Dead.
Okay, just one level, though.
So it's one level, yeah.
God,
yeah,
every level would be fucking hard.
God, that'd be bitch.
That'd be like 0.1% of games.
No, seriously. Like, what the fuck? Why would you do that to anybody? As far as Easter eggs, I didn't notice any. The only thing I did remember is I wondered if they were kind of making a dig at the movies The 28 Weeks Later.
Yeah.
Or 28 Days Later and 28 Weeks Later with the mutants, not zombies.
Yeah.
Because in those movies, they're not actually zombies either, and everyone calls that a zombie movie.
Yeah, true. I mean, it is a zombie movie for all intent and purposes, right?
For all intent and purposes, yes, but technically not because they're not undead. They didn't come back from the dead.
Yeah, they're just dead in their brain.
Yeah, they're just raging.
Yeah, rage dead. Not regular dead.
But yes, and then I didn't really see any Easter eggs in this game. I couldn't find anybody talking about it. Somebody said there was a character they saw called Father Ted, but I didn't even know what that was a reference to.
I think a lot of the Easter eggs in this game have to do with all those exploitation movies that they based it off of.
Yeah.
Which, unless you've seen all those movies, you would not give a shit. And honestly, not a lot of people have seen those movies.
Which, I mean, watching a lot of those movies myself, I saw a lot of references and stuff that I was like, oh my God, that's so funny. It made me think of this or this or this. Yeah. But it wasn't I didn't see any blatant references. It was more just the feelings and the vibes and the certain cliches of those movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Yeah. What's the game worth to you?
This is hard. I think, like I said, House of the Dead Overkill might be worth more than Typing of the Dead Overkill is.
That's
so
fair.
I think the original game, I would probably give a 3 out of 5 just because it's fun. It's interesting. I did play a little bit of it, and I had a lot more fun playing that than I did Typing of the Dead.
Oh, nice.
But with Typing of the Dead, it's less fun. You said it. You only can play it in small spurts, and then you get bored pretty easy, and you can't sit down and lose 10 hours into the game like you could other games. So
that's fair.
I think, honestly, I'm going to give this a 1 out of 5.
Okay.
So one soul fair. Only.
So I had a lot different experience with this one. I thought this was very unique, and I really loved the dumb horror movie spoof kind of vibes of this and the cheesy 70s vibes. It feels so much like what I expected of a Duke Nukem game.
Yeah.
In a perfect zombie game, and it was just so much dumb fun, and my wife kept on popping into the room and be like, what the fuck did they just say? And I'm like, you don't even know. And then talking about everything that happened to this is the most ridiculous shit I have ever heard and seen and witnessed, and I'm deeply disturbed, especially by the ending of this game. What the fuck? I'm not gonna give anything away, but what the actual fuck? The way they defeat the vast bad guy, I don't even want to get into.
Yeah. And we won't, because we don't give spoilers too much here.
Yes. I had to rate this game a 3. I thoroughly enjoyed this.
Well,
honestly,
I said, I rated this game a 3, too, just not the Typing of the Dead portion of it. I think the original is much better than the Typing portion.
See, and I, even though I can't play it on long spurts, I really do enjoy it. I think it's going to be a game I come back to a decent amount. My wife's already I have to play this game now. She's super interested in it, and she's wondering if she's going to be able to beat my high scores. And so now we got competition vibes of who can do the best on these levels, and I just think it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be stupid. And I don't know why. I just enjoy how corny it is. But I love really shitty horror movies so much, so it makes sense.
Yeah. For sure. All right, well, that was it. That was the Typing of the Dead Overkill, guys. Hope you enjoyed that one. Next week's episode's going to be Until Dawn.
Yes. With the remake coming out, we wanted to make sure we got on that game. And we had done it previously before we revamped. But we wanted to give that game another try. And especially with the remake coming out, we wanted to see what was different.
Yep. So we will catch you guys next week on Until Dawn. Hope you enjoyed this one. And see you later.
Bye. Love you.